It's good to be with you this morning. It's good to be here together. And again, I want to welcome those of you who are worshiping with us online through our live streaming. We began a new set of lessons this morning that I am referring to as Last Things. The reason that I'm calling it that is because I have six more opportunities to speak to you. And I have some last things that I want to share. Just to give you an idea of our time schedule, the things that Cindy and I have in terms of what we have going on through the end of September, we'll be leaving, I think I have on here Thursday, but it's actually Friday. We're going to be leaving to go to South Carolina. We'll be back next Tuesday. We're going down to do some house hunting. And so forth, and then we'll be back then, and then you're stuck with me for the next several weeks because we won't be gone again until the end of September. Brian will be speaking next Sunday, preaching next Sunday. Ray will be teaching the Bible class. As far as September, just to let you know where we're at with things, the last time that I will have opportunity to speak with this congregation will be on the 18th of September. We will be going to South Carolina again on the 22nd. We're going to take a few things down and leave them there. Come back. We'll be back on that Sunday evening, the 25th. And then Monday and Tuesday of that week will be whatever last minute stuff we need to do to get things packed and ready. Wednesday, we plan on loading a truck. Anybody who wants to come and help load would be great. Wednesday, we'll be doing that. And then Thursday morning, the 29th, is when we head to South Carolina with all of our belongings. We actually close on our house this Thursday, so that will be all taken care of, and now we just have to find a new place to live. So that's what we're going down, hopefully be able to find something this coming weekend doing that. But just wanted you to know kind of what we're looking at in our time frame. We have a couple of things that are going on between now and then. Brian has a movie that he would like to show to folks next Sunday evening with our family movie night. And he wanted me to just kind of get an idea of how many people might be interested in coming back for the movie. Do I have a show of hands? Anybody that would like to do that? The movie that he described, and I can't remember exactly what it's called, but what he described to me, it sounds like a really good movie. I'd encourage you to come back and be for it, so I'll let him know that. We have, at the end of August, we have our annual homemade ice cream competition. So the last Sunday of August, I think it's the 28th, we'll be doing that, so keep that in mind. And then we're going to try to plan a fellowship meal for the 4th of September, that first Sunday in September. Carla's working on that and going to see what arrangements we can make to be doing that. So those are things that are going on over the next 2 months, the rest of August and then into September. So just to let you know. So that brings us again to the number six. Okay, six more lessons that I have opportunity to share with you. Six of what I personally feel are some of the most important things that I have to share with you in those opportunities that I have left. Things that I want to say, I want to share with you. Understand that these things are not anything new. They're not things that you haven't heard before, but they are, I believe, and I feel in my heart, some of the most important things that we just need to, I want to share with you. Okay? These are the things that I want to impress upon you. This, our family here, before we leave. These are the things that I think are the most important. Holloway?
Is it fine for you to change your man to stand?
Nope, that's not going to happen. Nope. No, I think this is the direction the Lord wants us to go in. It's time for us to do that. It really is. I appreciate you, brother. I really do. So, all of these lessons that I'm going to be sharing with you over this time, in my heart and mind, have the focus, the ultimate focus of preparing all of us for the end time, for the coming of the Lord. The day of the Lord is coming. And bottom line of it is, I want to see every single one of you in heaven someday.
Amen. Okay.
So the things that I want to share with you, it's going to be a hard 6 weeks. These are the things that are on my heart that I want to make sure that you focus on, so that one day we'll be able to be together again.
Amen.
You've heard me talk about church people. The church people of Jesus' day were the Israelites, the Jews. They were the ones who worshiped Jehovah God. So they are, and as I refer to, they were the church people of Jesus' day. They were the believers in God. But when you look at what the Bible teaches us, and you look at the gospel accounts in particular, you realize that less than 3% of the things that Jesus taught and the encounters that he had were with non-church people. Okay? Everything else that he talked about, everything else that he said, all the confrontations, all the challenges that we've been talking about over the last several weeks were to church people in an effort to try to get them to change, as we talked about, their attitudes and their ideas and their behavior and the things they were doing. These two exceptions, the Roman centurion and the Canaanite woman, the non-church people that Jesus encountered, and he praised both of them for their faith. What do we as church people today, what do we need to be focusing on? What would Jesus tell us? What would he remind us of? Because he wants us to be with him. Okay? One of the first things I would impress upon you that Jesus impressed upon the church people of his day is, don't rest your salvation on your heritage. And we tend to do that in the church. Because we're members of the Church of Christ, then we've got it all together. We're saved. And that's no different than what the Jews said, because we're children of Abraham, we're saved. And the reality is, when you look at all the things that Jesus taught the people of his day, the church people, it says, no, your heritage is not enough. Your heritage is not enough. Make sure that you're letting his word direct your life. And not just kind of sitting back and going, well, you know, I'm a member of the Church of Christ and I go to church every week. That's not good enough. Another part of this is my efforts and my focus on the things I want to share with you over these six opportunities goes to our scripture reading that Holloway read for us as we began this morning, that we are looking forward to the day of the Lord again, so that one day we can all be together again. And Peter wrote to the people of his day, the church people of his day, that the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. And then he asks this question, since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? And that's a question that I want to encourage you always to be asking yourself, how do I need to be? What kind of person do I need to be? And he answers that question with three things. First of all, he says, you ought to live holy and godly lives. So we need to be looking at our lives and challenging. Look at your daily life. Say, am I living, am I striving to live a holy life? And then secondly, he says we need to be looking forward to the day of God. Are you looking forward to that day? I know I am. I'm looking forward to it. I want to get out of this world. I want to be with Him, but I want you to be with me. And then also he says that we need to speed its coming. And as you've heard me talk about many times before, we do that by sharing the gospel with as many people as we can so that everyone who is going to be saved is saved. I believe that's when He's going to come back again. So that's what this is really all about, is us. I want to make sure that I want to do everything I can to prepare all of you, all of us, for that day so we can be together again. We need to be prepared. Amen. We'll talk more about that coming in a couple of lessons that we have coming up. So this morning, the main message that I want to share with you this morning comes from the parable of the sower, Matthew chapter 13. In that parable, Jesus talks about four different kinds of soil that the seed is planted in. And that soil represents four different kinds of hearts. Okay? Let's take a look at that. What are the four types of soil that Jesus mentions in that parable? First of all, he talks about the hard soil or the path that the seed falls on. And the path is so hard that the seed cannot penetrate the soil. And the birds come and they eat it all, eat it away. The second type of soil is the rocky soil. The seed falls on that soil, but because it doesn't have a whole lot of soil there, it's a lot of rocks, it can't really take a good root. And so when the sun comes and scorches it, it just withers away. And then there is the thorny soil, where the weeds are and the thorns, and the seed falls among that soil, and as it grows up, the weeds and the thorns choke the seeds. So they're not able to grow and produce a crop. And then finally, there is the good soil. The soil that is fertile and soft and able to allow the seed to penetrate and then to the seed to die and to grow and produce a crop. He says 160 or 30 times as much as what was sown. So those are the four kinds of soil that Jesus talks about in this parable. But then he goes on to explain what each type of soil really represents. Okay? So as we look at these four types of soil, my challenge is for you to look at and to see, what type of soil am I? Right now in my life, what kind of soil am I? Okay? And apply that parable to ourselves. First of all is the path, the seed that falls on the path. Jesus says that represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and they do not understand it. Okay? Now, we need to know that when Jesus says they don't understand it, it doesn't mean because they're just too dull of thinking. The issue here is that they don't seek to understand it. They don't try. They don't apply it. They don't look. They don't study. They don't search. They don't ask. They just hear it and sometimes might say, well, that's too difficult. I don't, and they go off and leave it. He says they don't understand it. The evil one then comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed that's sown along the path. So this is where, you know, people hear the word, but again, they're really not that interested in it. They don't really care. They don't put the effort into learning and understanding what it says. And whatever was sown there, the devil comes and easily just snatches it away. It's interesting that we find some different circumstances, and this particular one strikes me, and Remember the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. How Philip ran up and he heard the eunuch reading from the book of Isaiah the prophet. And he asked the man the question, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And the eunuch said to him, "Well, how could I unless someone guides me?" Some translations say, "Unless someone explains it to me." And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. And so here's an example of someone who didn't understand what he was reading, but he wanted to. He had a desire to understand what he was reading. So he did what was necessary to make sure that he could understand it. You see? And that's the difference between one who wants to know and one who hears it but doesn't really care. What about the rocky soil? The rocky soil, Jesus said, is that seed that falls on that soil is someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. And then notice what happens. When trouble or persecution comes, because of the word, they quickly fall away. There's a couple of things that I want to remind you of and what Jesus is saying here. Okay? Number one, we need to expect persecution. Okay? Notice that he says, when trouble and persecution come because of the word. Right? The Apostle Paul, in writing to Timothy, said this, "In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." Everyone. So, again, especially, and I've talked about this many, many times in the past, our world is becoming more and more corrupted. We're getting closer and closer to the time, I'm convinced, when the Lord is coming back again. But you go and you look at what the book of Revelation tells us about what's going to happen in those times, we're going to face persecution. If you hold on to the Lord, you are going to be persecuted. But don't become like the person who's on the rocky soil or is the rocky soil where that persecution causes you to fall away from the Lord. Understand and know. Be prepared for the persecution so that you can stand up to it. What about the thorny soil? Jesus said the thorny soil is the one who received the seed that fell among the thorns, is the man who hears the word, but look at this, the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choking, making it unfruitful. Well, you know, again, many, many times we've talked about what Jesus has to say about worrying. Matthew chapter 6, why do you worry? Okay? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all the things that we worry about, He says, those things will come to you. We need to not worry about what's going to happen. You know, I mentioned to you, and Cindy talks about it this way, we close our house on Thursday. She says, we'll officially be homeless. We don't have a home. Okay? We're planning to move to South Carolina in a month and a little over a month and a half. We don't have a home, and I don't have a job yet. I don't have either one of those. But I know that He's already got those things figured out. Okay? So I don't need to worry about it. I need to do what I need to do to make those things happen, but I don't need to worry about it. You see? Because He's already got it taken care of. We need to make sure we don't allow the worries of this life to choke our faith away. And then the other part is the deceitfulness of wealth. You know, the world revolves around money. I think Wesley mentioned something about this in the communion this morning. The world revolves around money. Okay? And the world is obsessed with money. We need money, that is true, in order to live and to function in this life. But then at some point we have to ask ourselves, how much is enough? You say, how much is enough? And so I was looking at an article last week that was talking about, you know, because I don't know if you saw this or not, but, you know, the lottery jackpot total got to be above $1 billion. And so there was a lot of different articles that people were writing about, you know, lottery and lottery winners and so forth. And they were talking about the number of people that in the past have won lotteries and it has ruined their lives. You see? And that's what the deceitfulness of wealth will do. You remember the story of the rich young ruler, okay, that came to Jesus and asked, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Keep the commandments." And he said, "Which ones?" And we've talked about that before, you know, as if some are optional and some are not. You know, it's like these are 10 suggestions, not really commandments, right? No. Keep them. And Jesus, going along with him, told him, he gave him a list of some of them, and he said, "All of these I've done since I was a boy." And Jesus said, "There's still one thing that you lack." Now, I want you to think about that in terms of, if you were having that conversation with Jesus and asked that question, perhaps would there be one thing, it may not be the same thing as a rich young ruler, but would there be one thing that Jesus would say, "There's one thing that you lack. And you need to take care of this." My challenge for you is to look into your life and see if there's that one thing that you're still lacking. Jesus answered this young man in saying to him, "Go and sell all of your possessions and give the money to the poor and come follow me." Now, afterwards, the gospel tells us he went away sorrowful because he had great wealth. The disciples were kind of like, "Well, you know, who can get to heaven then?" And here's what Jesus says. "Truly I say to you, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I say to you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God."
Amen.
And again, the focus that Jesus is giving here is we need to be careful that we don't fall under the deceitfulness of wealth. That we don't get the drive for money and possessions and stuff, as you've heard me talk about so many times, to let that drive our lives. Because that will drive us away from God. And then there's the good soil. Okay? He says the seed falling on the good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. Again, this goes back to the same thing as the first. It's that person who is seeking, that person who is studying and learning and searching. They want to know. And they begin to understand what God's Word is all about. He says, this is the one who produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. Okay? Four types of soil. The Apostle Paul to the church in Colossae, and talking about this idea of understanding God's Word. And that's the part here that I want to impress upon you. One of the things that I am so proud about this church family is how so many people here are constantly searching and striving to know God's Word. Taking notes during lessons and studying and going having extra Bible classes, it shows that we have people here who want to know and understand God's Word, and I'm so proud of you for that. The Apostle Paul said to the church in Colossae, "From the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding." We need to be seeking always to be filled in that way with the knowledge of God's will, okay, and His spiritual wisdom and understanding. God, help me to understand Your Word and Your will for my life. That's my prayer for you.
Amen.
Four hearts, each representing one type of soil. Spiritual growth in our lives requires that I be like that good soil, that soft soil. Right? So the question that I'm challenging you with, and all of these things I've shared with you this morning, is what kind of soil are you? Look at your life right now, where you are. What kind of soil are you? Okay. In other words, another way to look at it is, what happens to the seed, that is the Word of God, that gets sown in my life? What happens to it? That's a good indication as to what kind of soil you are. Okay? What's happening to the Word as it gets sown in your life? Tom has a song that he's chosen for us to use for an invitation song. And it's an opportunity for anyone to come and let us know what your needs might be. If you have a prayer request or some need to share with us that we can lift up before the Lord. It's also an opportunity for anyone, and this includes those who are worshiping with us online this morning. Anyone who is not yet a Christian, if you desire to become a Christian, all you got to do is let us know. And we will make that happen as soon as is possible with you. We have the phone numbers for Wes and for myself that will be on the song screens that are up there. And you can text either one of us and let us know, and we'll contact you. We'll get in touch with you as soon as is possible. If you want to be baptized into Christ, you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life, to repent of the sin that's separating you from God and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism, you can do that as soon as we can arrange it with you. All you have to do is let us know. The opportunity is here. It's here for everyone. So let's stand together and sing. Tom, come on up.